president of the BC Lions, Rick Lalisher. Mr. Lalisher, how are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Not bad. How are you?
Well, don't get too excited to talk to us.
We've been pooling our money together, Rick. We might be making you an offer right now.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, bring cash.
Look, you were finally the organization and your comments earlier this week finally making it clear that this team is for sale. How many groups? Give us a sense. How many groups are you talking with right now?
Half a dozen.
And it went. You made it public that David is now willing to sell. Do you think that number will change now? And Rick, if you've been talking to a half dozen, has it been since you came here and took the title of president with the BC Lions, or did it just? We know the Water Boys have been around for about 5 years, but have you had some new people come in since you came over?
Yeah, it's been this last year. It wasn't the first year. I've been talking to individuals and groups this year. Just sort of exploring different things and seeing what the interest is and trying to keep it out of the news, which we did for quite a while. There's various individuals and there's some various groups. So I'm not sure where it's going to lead us or to who, but we're going to find out.
Rick, is Francesco Aquilini one of those members of the one of the groups?
I'm not going to talk about any groups that I've talked to. I've told them that we'd keep it under the radar, and any individual I've talked to about the purchase has signed a non-disclosure agreement, and so have I, so I'm just going to keep it that way.
Fair enough. Can you maybe share with us, you mentioned that there's about a half dozen groups that you're talking to. How many would you say of that half dozen are specifically local?
The majority.
Okay.
The majority are local, and the others have some sort of tie to Vancouver and the Lower Mainland.
You've been around the CFL for a long time, brought so many events into Edmonton. Is this a tough sell? How do you go about saying here's the value in a CFL team right now in 2019?
Well, I guess the value is what a buyer and a seller is prepared to pay and accept. There hasn't been a lot of transactions, actually, in the CFL over the years, outside of probably the best measurement is the expansion of the new Ottawa franchise and then coming, hopefully, is the Halifax franchise.
Rick Lalisher, the president of the BC Lions, with us here on Sportsnet 650. What's the biggest challenge here trying to get a deal like this done, Rick? Is it just simply the price?
Certainly it's always it's price. I think it's we want to ensure, and this means a lot to David Braley, is that the buyer, whether it's an individual or a group, has the capability of continuing the Lions for many years to come, because that's very important to David, that the Lions remain in this community and part of the fabric of the community.
Rick, compare CFL in Edmonton and CFL in BC. I've been here 20 years. Was new you in Edmonton? I've adjusted to how sports is in BC. It is just different, especially when it comes to the CFL in the Prairies. For you, what's the biggest difference?
I think there's so much more to do here is one of the things, especially in the summer. And that's why we try to always get our schedule overbalanced towards the fall. Edmonton, I think, is pretty well known as a sports town. The Vancouver and Lower Mainland is certainly an event city, and they like a winner. And they really support a winner, and when you're not winning, it's not easy to get their support.
When do you get a sense of how this will play out with respect to the sale, Rick? I mean, do you hope to get something done within the next month or two, or is this something that we'll probably see happen in the winter?
No, I really haven't put a time frame to it. I think, realistically, through the season, it's difficult. It's probably going to be into the off season, but I just have not put a time frame to it, and there's no sense in that. We're at some point, we will come forward with a proposed buyer, and I'll go present it to David, and then he'll have to accept it or decline, and then we'll go from there.
It's always the CFL has been through some ups and downs.
Just a few.
Well, I know, Rick, and is that ever going to change? Do you think the league is healthy right now?
Overall, yes. I think there's some bumps, and I think the bumps are in the attendance in the big three cities of Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, which clearly are international cities now, not just Canadian cities. And we've got to get those three cities going a lot better than they are now.
And then you know what? That could have been the answer to this question 20 years ago if I asked you, though, too. I just don't know. How do you fix it and get into the big cities and get them who are big city towns to say, you know what, I want to represent the CFL. I want to be a part of this. I wonder if community ownership, could that be an option?
It could be. I think the Lions have been owned by communities, I think, two or three times. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple of times it hasn't gone so well. Any type of ownership can work if it's organized properly, and if it's community, it can work. If it's a handful of individuals like there is in Ottawa now, it certainly can work. It all comes down to the governance side between the owners and the management, and making sure that, you know, I have a famous saying that the Eskimos were aboard a nine, and we always operate on the basis that the board stayed out of football and football stayed out of the boardroom.
How is there an ideal sort of, what's the ideal sort of choice from an ownership standpoint in your mind? Because you've seen very successfully run teams. You've seen poorly run teams. You've seen a lot in your experience over the CFL. You've got Grey Cup winners under your belt. What's an ideal scenario? One principal owner or a bullpen, essentially?
I think either could work. The advantage of a broad-based group or a smaller broad-based group, I suppose, is that, and if they're in the Lower Mainland, they're all members of the community and have businesses, and you can really leverage that. You know, you get a dozen people out there. We saw that in when the Oiler group bought the Oilers from the Alberta Treasury Branch. That you can really lever that. They're all out in the business community. They all have different contacts, and that is very helpful.
It's a unique situation, and you know, people text into us, and you know, both tenants of BC Place have really had a year to forget. We saw a little bit of a shuffle with the Vancouver Whitecaps last week. I just get the sense, you know, although the performance on the field hasn't been great from your football team, Ed and Devon are kind of going, hey, this is all new. We're trying to figure it out. Some people expect that when you've only got one win, there should be some changes. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, it's you can look at it yes or no. Of the I know Ed's now, I think he's been 5 years as a general manager, so is getting the knack. Devon's first year head coach. There's a lot of learning to do with that. He's got a young coaching staff in the majority. Tremendous amount of learning. You can go ahead and continue to make changes and have a merry-go-round of changes, and then there's just absolutely no stability. I think we've got the basis of a good football team and a good football operations organization. I can't remember the exact numbers, but we've led in seven of the nine games. We're having trouble adjusting to any adversity. And if we can get over that hump, we'll be very competitive.
Rick Lalisher, the president of the BC Lions, with us here on Sportsnet 650. See, you can use that as a positive, right? Like, see, people, it's not how you finish, it's how you start. Right? You use that as a selling point. But Rick, Rick, tell me this. You know, there's so many people, and it's trying to figure out who the BC Lion fan is in 2019. And, You know, I grew up in Ottawa originally, and I was, you know, I was a big Ottawa Rough Riders fan when it was the only, you know, it was the straw that stirred the drink in town long before the NHL arrived there. And, you know, I mean, the losing eventually mounted and built over time, and it just eventually eroded to where the franchise first folded in 1996. You know, that hasn't really been the case for the Leos where, yeah, there's been a down year here or there, but, you know, this has essentially been a very successful franchise. But there's an apathy that has set in here in this city, and we've talked about the issues of Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, but, you know, some people suggest, hey, maybe a stadium out, getting out of BC Place Stadium. I mean, I think if you're a fan trying to go into that venue and the home team scores a touchdown, and you want to high-five the person next to you, but the closest person to you is two sections over, like, that's not a great ambiance. Like, is there ever a thought that one day trying to get out of BC Place Stadium might be, you know, the real survival move here for the Leos?
It may be. It may be for the Lions and the Whitecaps. I don't know. In many cases, BC Place is a great stadium. Certainly to host things like the Grey Cup, it's a terrific facility. When your attendance isn't as strong, it's a challenge. And, you know, the professional sports as a whole now is counting on the buildings to being quite the revenue source of different sources, whether it be club seating, loge seating, suites, food and beverage. And it's a lot more difficult when you don't have those sources of revenue to operate. You know, to build a new stadium of 24,000, 25,000 takes a few hundred million dollars. So it certainly would not be accomplished overnight. And I think if it was ever to happen, I think it would have to happen like in Ottawa, where it was actually a real estate development play. Yeah. And the stadium was part of it.
You know, and it's interesting you say that. I get it. I mean, you're probably looking at a minimum of a quarter of $1 billion to try to build new infrastructure here. And I understand that that's a challenge, especially these days and especially in this province. Could you not ever, you know, you look back a few years ago, and Empire Stadium was kind of the temporary spot. Perry, you can remember the.
It's great.
And I was just going to say, that was the constant narrative I heard from everybody that went those years while BC Place was being refurbished. It was great. It was fun. Now, was it perfect? And you're going to talk about maybe some of the, you know, the bathrooms and this and that, and it's makeshift. But Rick, as you kind of alluded to, you know, it's only 9 home games. You know, if you add a playoff game or two, okay, say, you know, you're up to 11 days a year. Like, maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be a brand new build. Like, could it be conceivable that maybe that's the play for the viability, where you've got an intimate outdoor atmosphere that screams football in the fall?
It could be. And there's been some great gains in development of I guess the word's temporary stadium, but they're full-time stadiums that are, I think the soccer team in Langford over near Victoria is utilizing the construction of a little bit, not 25,000, but seats that are actually coming over in containers from Europe. And then it's like a jigsaw puzzle putting them together.
Yeah.
So there are some differences now, and I was in the one, and when I was with the Eskimos, we played at the temporary stadium, and it was great. As you say, outside of the trailers for locker rooms weren't the greatest, but you could build that. But the type of stadium it was, with it's very tight and very fan friendly. So I think the other one that you'd need, though, on a stadium like this, you'd have to be on the SkyTrain. It just makes so much sense for the future to me to have something like that, but it's got to be on the SkyTrain.
Yeah, it just seems at some point the stadiums have outgrown the league. You know, you're building them all in the 80s and 90s when you could get 45, 50,000 to places like Vancouver and Edmonton and even McMahon when expanding, but it's not there anymore. I guess it's about atmosphere and it's about selling the team. At least the public knows they're available. We're passing the hat around here at Sportsnet 650. Rick, I don't know if we're going to have enough, but it'll be curious to see who becomes the owner of the BC Lions and when this is done. Thank you for your time, and enjoy the day ahead.
Okay, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Lowell.